Get ready to get your mind blown. Listen in as I interview new guests each week to share their knowledge and experiences on subjects we all wish people spoke more about. Covering all things health and wellness, you'll be sure to experience the best mindgasm you've ever had. Today, I'm joined by Terrell Cherry. Terrell is a mindset and manifestation coach with over a decade of experience within the health and wellness industry. Terrell helps people to clear the clutter and remove the fear to create space for reflection. On this episode, Terrell joins me to talk about the secrets to manifest happiness and how to put a stop to consistent negative self-talk and develop the skills you need to build confidence, self-love, and achieve whatever goal you put your mind to. He also talks about the benefits of meditation and breathwork and how building the simple actions into your daily routine can change your life. Hello and welcome to the Mindgasm podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm so good. I'm really excited to be here and get to chat with you today.
I'm so excited too. I was just telling Terrell before I started recording this, I've been stalking his profile and it just radiates good vibes. And so I'm hoping everybody who's listening today is going to get the same feel. What we're going to be talking about today is manifestation, meditation, breath work, and all the other bits in between. However, before we do go into this, I would like you to tell me how you came to where you are today. How is it that you, right now, you're a health and manifestation coach? But I mean, has that always been something you've been interested in? Like, where did this begin?
So, I've always been into magic. Okay. You know, I think as a kid, I've always really been interested in witches and things like that. This wasn't something that I even knew was a job or a career or a space, but I found myself searching and really looking for things that, that resonated for me. And as I, you know, I started my first career was as a hairstylist, and I really, really loved that. I was able to connect with clients. And if you know how, you know, when you go to a salon and you sit in the chair and they massage your hair, your head, and you start talking and you build and form a relationship with, you know, stylist to client to stylist, you walk away feeling really good. And that's what I loved about that. I loved seeing a client coming in and maybe just being like, blah, and then walking out, and I mean that energetically. Yeah. You know, you walk in and you're just like, oh, things are happening in my life. And then they sit in the chair, and depending on the relationship, you know, I am very personable, and I think I was able to talk with them, and they leave feeling really, not only like feeling like they look their best, but there's this new energy about them. You know, they walk out and and you're like, woof, I'm back. I'm alive.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm alive. I had my counseling session and my hairdressing appointment 2 in 1. This is
yeah. Great. Yeah. So it's a thing, right? And, you know, I move very much into like my feelings kind of guide me where I want to go. And I was looking to have a deeper connection. And so just had a ping to move into fitness. And so I started drifting into that realm and eventually found myself teaching at SoulCycle as an instructor. Yeah. And so I was doing that for a little while. And the beautiful thing about SoulCycle, you know, it's the motivation, it's the talking, and my whole experience is what I share a lot. And I think even on Instagram, you know, I try to share as much as I can, even if it's like the nitty gritty. Yeah. I don't want everybody to think I'm just like super happy all the time. Like it's not real. It's not a thing.
Instagram versus reality.
yeah. And again, you know, I was offered a job to move to Melbourne. Mm-hmm. I'm currently in Sydney, Australia. And it just kind of hit me one day. I was sitting at this park in San Francisco, Dolores Park, and I just kind of was like, oh, I think I should try to coach, or maybe this is something that I would like to move into. And all of it's just morphed, you know, following one ping and not really knowing where that's going to lead, but saying yes. Yeah. And this is really how I found myself in this space right now, is just literally saying yes, feeling that fear and moving through it, moving with it. I read tarot, so you know, there's the Fool card is the zero, number zero. It's mm-hmm. it's the beginning. It's taking that leap of faith. It's really, you know, Wile E. Coyote when he runs off a cliff and he doesn't notice that he's off the cliff, but he's still running. And it's not until he looks down, you know, and it's literally like running off the cliff and not looking down, just going,
yeah.
right?
And
seeing where things land. So,
and did you find that people who went to your classes, say at SoulCycle, and had spent time with you ended up becoming clients, or was it very much that you had to start fresh with the whole new direction?
Actually, I have been working with some clients, some old riders of mine. Yeah. And that's been beautiful because I get to connect with them on such a deeper level. And
yep.
that's exactly what I've been wanting, right? Mm-hmm. Like I love connecting and I love chatting with people and I love just figuring out the whys, right? Mm-hmm. To what they want. And it's beautiful.
That's amazing. And so now you obviously focus more on manifestation and health. Is that still the focus?
It's manifestation and mindset mostly. I mm-hmm. think health is umbrellaed under there. You know, the way that I have been manifesting has been really looking at my mindset, the things that I say, the way that I think, you know,
yeah.
That's really allowed me to open up new doors. Right. And mm-hmm. so when I work with clients, I really ping and really hook into what are the things that you say are possible? What are the things that you say aren't possible? How do you describe yourself? How do you describe the world that you see and perceive? Because that is what your manifestation is. Mm-hmm. We always manifest. Manifestation, I think my belief is manifestation, the law of attraction, is like the law of gravity.
Right.
It's there. You
it's
know what
always
I mean?
Around.
Always working. There's mm-hmm. no, and I had a client once that was like, when do we start the manifestation process? I'm like, you are manifesting right now.
And they're like, wait, I wasn't thinking about the right thing.
Exactly. And I was like, you are manifesting right now, but if you're not seeing the things that are showing up for you, let's tap into that and say, okay, why am I manifesting, you know, not the things that I want? Why am I not manifesting anything? And it's usually the mindset.
That's interesting, because actually one of the questions I was wanting to speak to you about was, how would you say you tap into your own personal manifestation? Like, say somebody here is listening and they're thinking, okay, I don't really get what manifestation is. How would you sort of explain it, and then how would they tap into that?
That's good. So, okay.
It's juicy. There's a lot to work with.
It is. There is, because, you know, again, manifestation is like a very buzzwordy word, right?
It is. Yeah. It's definitely one of those ones that I'm sure is like Google search trending right now.
Yeah. And so manifestation really is the intention that we seek or that we put out there realized.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, again, you have an intention to release weight, right? You're saying, I'm X amount of pounds. I want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm going to manifest this beautiful body, whatever beautiful means to you.
Yep.
Right. Whatever you see in your head, there's a vision. There's this visual that you want to get to. That is your intention. And so you begin to manifest it. Right. But we have to start working at aligning to that future self. Right. And so as you begin to manifest, you start to think about it's really this cohesive set of plays, right? So you say, who is that version? What do they think? How do they act? And how do I start to literally step into that life?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's kind of an easy one, because then you say, okay, well, maybe I need to check my eating patterns.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I need to exercise a little bit more or differently or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But imagine you're wanting to manifest money. Mm-hmm. And I've had some really magical moments happen. You know, I wanted to manifest X amount of dollars, and then I was put on a game show. And somebody was like, well, that's not manifestation because you were on a game show. And I was like, yes, but like the way it all happened, it was literally like this thing happened, that thing happened. And, you know, for me, I'm like, I manifested the right thing to come into, like literally land in my lap. And I had to believe in it, right? Mm-hmm. I had to pursue it. I had to take some action towards it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when we aren't manifesting money, it's because we have money blocks.
In terms of physically or mentally?
Mentally.
Mentally.
I had a client yesterday, we were talking, and you know, they said, money is evil. And I was like, oh, okay. So if we're saying money is evil, right? All of a sudden you're painting a picture with your mind, right? And you're saying money's bad, money's bad, money's bad. No wonder money isn't coming to you, mm-hmm. right? Because that's a deflection, right? That's a get away from me because it's bad.
Yeah.
That's that kind of energy. We have to, everything is energy.
Yeah.
Right? And so we have to love that energy. We have to feel like we're worthy of having the thing. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if you're wanting more happiness, if you're wanting to manifest love, we don't start by manipulation tactics with a specific person. No, we start with, how do you feel about yourself? How do you see yourself? What triggers you when you think about love? When mm-hmm. you see people in a relationship, what is your initial thought? Are you jealous? You know, do you get angry because you're single? Do you look in the mirror every day and you tell yourself, you're ugly, unworthy, you're never going to find anybody, you know?
Yeah.
Relationships are hard. Like, what are these things that you say to yourself, and what is your energy? And so this is what we start to work at, especially with intention setting. Mm-hmm. I want this thing. How am I in relation to it?
Yeah.
And then how do I create the shifts that magnetize me into that new space? I hope that makes sense.
No, it really does. I guess the way I'm kind of visualizing it in my mind is that the manifestation is ultimately the goal you're trying to achieve. And within that process, you're looking at the steps you need to do to achieve those goals. And you kind of look into yourself and see, what those steps are. Are you doing them? And if you're not doing them, then this is kind of things that you need to work on to change, right?
Absolutely. And I do believe like our value, our self-worth is a huge foundation into what you bring, what you call to you, mm-hmm. right? Relationships are something that I'm working on, right?
In terms of like just meeting anybody in general?
Or romantic relations. Yeah. Romantic relationships is like my piece right here. And I've also noticed that there's a huge connection, and this is work that I've been doing recently, a huge connection between my romantic relationships and my relationship to money.
Interesting.
Huge. Yeah, it's... I was working with a coach, and you know, they were asking me to talk about money, and then they were asking me to talk about my relationships. And I realized the way I describe money is exactly almost very similar to the way that I describe relationships and, you know, my past relationships. And it just blew my mind. And so now I'm walking around, I'm like, oh, okay, I need to create, I need to work on, you know, that love vibration, not only within myself and what I feel like I'm capable of having and holding and keeping mm-hmm. in a relationship, but like with that money too, what I'm capable of having, holding and keeping, right? Like, because for me, it's like I can manifest a lot of money, but it always slips through my fingers, right?
Right.
And so these are blocks that we start to see when you're wanting. For me, manifestation is always going to be about figuring out how you're living, how you're programmed, what you're thinking. That's why mindset is always going to be the number one thing that we can start to work on.
So for example, you have someone who's like, okay, I want to manifest getting X job, right? And they're in a job and they're not very happy and they want to achieve a different job. But then their mindset is that they won't be able to achieve it because of XXX reasons. So there you have two things happening at the same time. How would you work through that?
So you're asking, I want to be in this job,
yeah,
but I don't see that happening because of all of these factors.
Exactly.
That right there, that disbelief, or you really fighting for you're fighting for that limitation, that gap, that roadblock, no matter how true or possible or whatever the case may be, how real it seems, that's your belief. You believe that subconsciously there's this belief that that's not going to happen.
Right.
And that subconscious belief is going to supersede the conscious desire. Right?
Yeah. So it almost like takes one up on it.
Yeah. Think about self-sabotage, right?
Yeah.
Again, in relationships, I can see myself, oh, I see where that's a pattern of me sabotaging this thing, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people do it, procrastination, right?
Yeah.
Or they're so, it might not even feel like self-sabotage. You go into, you get the interview,
yeah,
right? You get the interview, and within the interview, you kind of like fumble, right? And you're not showing up the way that you know you can. These kind of things really happen to us, again, to show us what those blocks are. Now, honestly, I'm of the belief that if it's meant for you, it'll happen for you, right? If you're wanting to manifest a new job, I would suggest, yes, getting very specific and very clear on the job that you want. And then recentering your focus and you're starting to see yourself in the new job, receiving an offer, feeling grateful for it, really jumping into the forward motion of already receiving.
Okay, so instead of the during, it's how you would feel if you were in that place.
Yeah, so that you don't get too caught up in the work part of it, right?
Yeah.
Because that I think that's where we all get kind of stuck too. So this is what I was saying also with, you know, if you're wanting to lose weight, right?
Yeah.
You see that version of you and you say, okay, who is that person being? What are they doing? And how can I start implementing these little steps right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
During that process, you're telling yourself like, oh, I love my body, right? I'm okay where I am right now. I'm super excited to be in a new space where I feel healthy, where I feel good, right? You're starting to jump into this new vibration because you've looked at this future version and you know they're happy, they're successful, they're feeling good, right?
Yeah.
And when you can trick your mind, so to speak, into feeling that way, into seeing those things, into believing it's possible, mm-hmm. that's when you start to create that like pattern, right? That's when the energies start to flow. It's easier said than done. I think sometimes we can get caught up in what we're seeing.
In terms of the results from thinking it, do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a lot of people say it's not happening fast enough. When is it going to come? Oh my goodness, I had this setback. What does that mean?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because what if, say you've got this goal of whatever it is, and you've been manifesting it, and you've been doing all of these steps to work towards it, and say it's been a long period of time, maybe 6 months. Is there a time that you kind of step back and think, actually, this manifestation that I'm doing isn't working? Or how would you process that? Because what do you let go of? Do you let go of the dream, or do you let go of the way that you're approaching it?
I never say let go of the dream, but there is a block happening,
mm-hmm.
right? And so then it's like, okay, let me switch, let me like divert my eyes from that for a moment and think about how do I want to feel? Because it's always a feeling, right? When we want to manifest anything, it's because of a feeling. I want to feel this way, right? And I don't think a lot of people really see that right away. Mm-hmm. But it is, you know, whether you want money or you want a relationship or you want a job or you want a new car, it's because you want to feel a certain way about yourself or about your life. And so taking a chance and saying, this isn't working the way that I'm doing it, let me just take a step back and start focusing on the feeling and how I can just get into that feeling. Mm-hmm. Even if it's through meditation, right?
Yeah.
Through visualization.
With the manifestation, is it something that to do you have to sit down and be in that place where you're visually thinking about it? Or is it maybe you have like your own Pinterest board and you're there putting the things on there? Like, is there a wrong way and a right way, or is it however it suits?
I don't think there's any wrong way to go about anything except for focusing on the things you do not want. So if you're wanting to release weight, you wouldn't focus on the fact that, oh, this is happening slower than I thought, right? You would really focus on feeling, take yourself to that forward place, that future space, get a picture of yourself at this ideal weight, or, you know, draw up words of inspiration that say like, I did it. You know, I'm here. I'm feeling so good. And create the space to return to those feelings and those thoughts as often as possible. Have you heard the term energy grows where your focus goes?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's exactly what it means. When you're focusing on the things you don't want, you're just feeding more of that. Really curious about creating healthy, tasty meals. That's such a great reframe, because I think when people think healthy, they think bland and they think, you know, just green or whatever the case may be. But it's like, no, be curious about what you can make. Be curious about all these other things, you know. Talk to people about your experience and find the support system where people are reinforcing that you're powerful, that you can do this, you know. Yeah. These are the things, especially with manifesting and manifestations, it's understanding what that intention is, what the goal is, how do you want to feel, and moving forward in those spaces.
Mm-hmm. You touched on meditation. Do you only do meditation to help with your manifestation, or do you also do meditation as a form of stress release and for like personal benefits?
Oh yeah, I definitely use it for stress release and my nervous system calibration. Stepping into your emotions and seeing them for what they are and giving yourself that space and time to center in is such a beautiful and scary practice. Because you're forced with, you know, your thoughts. You're faced with your thoughts. You have to see those emotions, and sometimes that can be very, very confronting.
This is the thing, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people can sometimes be sat there and maybe thinking that they're meditating, and the mind drifts to what they're having for dinner or what they're going to do next week. And would that still class as meditation?
The practice of meditation is returning to the present moment. So for instance, if you're sitting and you're doing a meditation that has you focusing on your breath, right? You're focusing on your inhale, following the exhale, returning to the inhale, following the exhale. And then you find yourself off thinking about that fight or what's for dinner or the thing you forgot or what you have to do later. You bring yourself back. Mm-hmm. You say, I'm going to notice the breath, right? That bringing yourself back is the meditation practice. And the more you do it, right, the easier it becomes to stay. And this is the building the muscle. And, you know, meditation is challenging at the very beginning for people, because sitting still, stilling them, keeping the mind in one space, it takes practice, like going to the gym. You have to train and sit with it. And I think we become really frustrated when we realize, oh, I fell asleep, you know, or wow, I just sat here for 30 minutes thinking about how upset I was. And offering yourself a sense of compassion and still returning to it the next day and saying, this time when I catch myself on that magic carpet ride of thought, I'm gonna float right back and notice my breath. Or maybe I am noticing my heart beating. Mm-hmm. Maybe I have a mantra that when I lose it, I can bring myself back, right? Mm-hmm. And I can sit and I can stay. And that's when things really start to open up for you. You get that little burst of insight, that aha moment.
So it's being okay with the mind drifting, and then over time you will build it. I mean, you just said about it's like a muscle, and that's a really nice way to put it, because it takes work, it takes time, and it takes practice, right? And over time, it's normal for your mind to wander. It's normal to think of these thoughts, but it's the bringing them back, which is what ultimately is the growth that you're going to see.
Yeah, absolutely. The mind thinks constantly, right? It's always processing. When we have that chattery brain and you've never really said like, hey, can you stop for a second? Like, it has free rein, and it feels like it has free rein, but you have to think about it like an infant or a puppy and gently say like, this is my time. You know, this is what we're going to do today. What that really does is it gives you a moment, even when things start to get really crazy. So you're in a heightened state, right? Now you're beginning to, now you have a little bit of a practice of being very, very aware of what's going on within the body. You realize, oh, I'm feeling this tension, I'm feeling really hot. My breathing has stopped completely. I think we're so hard on ourselves and think we have to be so perfect and it's going to be so easy at first. And I still get into very heated discussions and catch myself and say like, oh, I could have said that differently. Or, you know, I felt really, really, really attacked. And instead of centering down and catching my breath, I got caught up in the emotion. Mm-hmm. But what's different is the space between like my action and the awareness of my action is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And it's happened now that even within the moment, I can say like, you know what you need right now? You just need to stop.
Yeah, it's like you're about to lose your head. Like, that's just not where we're at right now.
Yeah. And when I have a moment like that, that is like, oh, okay.
I did it. I got that self-control. Yeah, it's working. Yeah. What about people who have really busy lives and really busy schedules, and maybe they're at home right now and they've been going through lockdown, they've got kids running around, they've got the job trying to balance that along with doing all the rest of like the life admin. Like, how do you find the time, or when you think you don't have the time?
Ooh, I have
I love how you put it.
No, because this is something that I've actually started doing with it, like for myself. And I'm like, oh, your shower time. Use your shower time. If you actually feel like you don't have any time, if you're really saying that, when you're in the shower, set the intention to focus on the water on your skin. Focus on feeling, focus on maybe your breathing, right? Say, during this whole shower, I'm going to be super present and take four deep inhale, like a four count inhale and a four count exhale. I'm going to slow down in the shower. I'm going to be very present. I'm going to be in this moment. I'm not going to drift off into the chaos of my day. I'm going to be right here with my breath. Listen, 5 minutes, a 5-minute practice where you say, I'm going to sit and notice the breath. will also do wonders for you at any point in the day. If you know you're about to go into a meeting that's going to be high stress, take 5 minutes before that meeting, calm your nervous system down, get the breath going, and let that be the energy you take with you into the next thing. Mm-hmm. If you have to have a busy, busy morning, take the minutes that you have, you know, in the bathroom to just center down. Nobody's going to bother you.
You hope.
Yeah, you hope. And let that be. We all have moments of alone time that we're just not utilizing, I think, the way that we can.
So it doesn't need to be this 30 minutes, 60 minutes that sometimes you see people preaching about. It's like, actually, like, be real. Like, we haven't all got maybe a spare 30 minutes, 60 minutes, but we probably will have a spare 5 minutes. And if you don't, then you will in the shower.
Yeah. I think that building the practice first is going to be the most important. Mm-hmm. And then once you get into the habit of returning, you can then start to etch out time, right? A lot of people say, I don't have time. I don't have time. And it's like, no, you probably do have time, but other things are taking precedent, right? So you wake up at X amount of time and the first thing you do is get on your phone and start checking emails.
Yeah.
Right?
So bad. And so now,
yeah, but you've now, before you even have done anything, you're glued into the system and you're working, right? A lot of us say, I don't have time, but when we get home and we say, I just want to disconnect. I'm feeling so exhausted from the day and I'm going to turn the TV on and watch my favorite show because that numbs me out. And it's like, yeah, but that's also an hour or two that you could take to do this, right? And it's really seeing it as important.
Actually making time for it in your day as opposed to trying to squeeze it in. I mean, beginning, maybe you can squeeze it in, but like you say, it should become part of your routine. That becomes a priority.
Correct. A sacred appointment. I need this, right? I need to do this because I feel so much better when I walk away from it. You know, I know when I don't go to the gym for X amount of days, I start to notice my mood is different or I'm feeling weird in my body. And I've always been active. I was a competitive swimmer from the time I was 8, you know, I ran track and I danced and I did all of these things. So movement is always, it's who I am. My body loves it. And so when I don't do it for a long time, I notice big changes. Mm. And it's important for me that I do these things. So I have carved out the time. I've made it a career as well, but
there's no getting away from it now.
Yeah. But you know, but I've also carved out the time. When I go into my meditation, I have carved out that time.
Absolutely.
And I say, this is what I'm going to return to. And I show up however I am. If I'm feeling tired, show up tired. If you fall asleep, amazing. You needed the sleep.
It's like whatever way you want to attend, you're just going to be there and you're going to be there present, right? I feel like with exercise, it's one of those things that sometimes it's hard to drag yourself to do it. Maybe you don't really feel like it, but 99.9999% you'll never regret having a workout because the endorphins you feel. And I guess it's the same with meditation.
Yeah, the hardest part is just getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. You need someone
the hardest
to do that space.
Yeah. You know, it's funny to me that sometimes even people who have like a gym in their building don't go.
Yeah. You try to take away the thing that stops you from doing something, which sometimes is the distance, right? But then when it's literally there or even like equipment at home, sometimes you just don't have that motivation to do it, which is something we've all had and we've all been there. What do you do when you're in that situation? Because I mean, obviously your career is to work out and to have that part of your routine, but I'm sure you still have off days.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I have my off days. And the thing that I've been learning too is, you know, asking myself, am I just being lazy or am I really tired? Being real with yourself. If you have a goal and you say, I want to do this thing, right? I want to learn how to do this thing. Find your why. Why do you want to do it? How is it going to benefit you? How is it going to make your life better? In what ways? And write that down somewhere so that you can see it. So that when you're sitting somewhere or doing something that isn't what you said you would be doing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going against my why. This is your motivation. We all have to understand that, like, our lives, it's created by our actions, right? It's everything is a moment of choices. And so if you keep telling yourself, I'm too tired, I don't have the time, whatever the thing is that's stopping you, understand that is your choice. That is what your reality is because of how you believe. And if you want to change something, you have to make the effort to return and commit and be honest and loving with yourself.
Yeah. And I guess change makes change. Like, you can't expect change to happen if you're not going to change the thoughts that you're having.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. Nothing changes if nothing changes.
Exactly. How many times can we use the word change in like 3 sentences?
Right. But this is, it's so true. When you're thinking about manifesting, you make these little tweaks. You know, I had the goal of doing TikTok. I really committed to showing up daily and learning, right? Because when I first got on there, I was like, what is this?
What do I start doing?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I realized right away that no, I'm not a TikTok dancer.
That must have been a sad realization.
But there are other things that I loved to share. And, I December 30th, I said, I'm going to show up every day. I'm going to really, really hone in on this thing and learn. And I have a goal. And in a month, literally 1 month, from December 30th to January 30th, I'd taken my TikTok from 35 followers to 10,000. And yeah, and I'm now, you know, I've slowed down quite a bit for this month. The last couple of weeks have been really crazy. But I think today I'm at 13. And so it's showing up. And one of the things that I did was showing up daily, right? Showing up daily. And what I needed to do was start to see that version of myself who was doing it, right? So imagine putting up a TikTok and you only have 35 followers and you're like, nobody's going to see this.
Yeah.
Of course not. But what I'm going to do is show up like I have a gazillion.
Like you have that 10,000, all that 13,000.
Yeah. 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 You know, and it's really committing to showing up even when you feel exasperated. Because I tell you, I had some that did not do well. Some posts that was like, oh, should I just delete this?
It's so hard because sometimes you look at it and you're like, that was really inspiring or really funny or really educational. Why are people not seeing this?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it does happen in life, right? Like, I want to expand on this. So when you're showing up and you're saying, I'm really trying to manifest love, or I'm trying to manifest that new job, or I'm trying to manifest whatever the thing is, and you're showing up and you're just like, but this isn't happening the way that I thought, or this isn't happening as fast as I thought. It's like, don't give up. Mm-hmm. Keep showing up, keep believing. And for everything that you can do, find gratitude in something. You know, show up and say, oh, at least I'm here. At least this is happening. When I first started teaching spin, same thing. I was like, why aren't people coming to my classes? I feel amazing. I feel like I'm great. I feel like I'm sharing so many things. And I realized I was focusing on the people who weren't coming and not the people who were.
And they're the people who are sat there like, Terrell, come on, we want to have your class. And you're like, yeah. But what about everybody? But yeah.
Yeah. What about that empty bike? And I was like, who cares about that empty bike? Start showing gratitude for the people who are showing up. Start showing them who you are. And honestly, that changed the way that I showed up. It changed my energy. And perhaps maybe it manifested me turning into one of the top performing instructors in the Bay Area, where any of my classes were sold out. You know, I had 17 classes a week and all of them were being sold out. And, you know, these were one of the things that I really have been changing with within myself. And it's work, it's practice. I have to still today show up and tell myself, Terrell, you are enough. And that's one of the posts that I'm going to be posting today on Instagram is like, I am enough, right? I'm enough no matter what. Even if I do fall back, even if I do procrastinate, even if I do get angry and I blow up at somebody, that doesn't make me a bad person.
It just makes you human.
Makes me human. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that I need to stop or that something negative is going to happen to me. No, it just means that I need to reset. I'm all about showing yourself that compassion, all about being like, yo, it's cool. You're good. You're okay.
You just had a wobble. It's fine. And let's carry on.
Wobble. That's literally what I put in there. I put like in, you know, it's if you have a wobble, that is a beautiful sign because you know you're off center somewhere.
No, completely. With breath work, so is this something that you do as part of your meditation or is this something you do separately? Like for people who are not clear on the difference between, are you able to just explain a little bit about that?
So I usually say sitting meditation where like a one seat meditation where you're focusing on maybe a mantra or your breath or an energy. That is like the yin, and the breath work that I do is like the yang. So yin is very relaxing and very, you know, there's not a lot of effort to it. You're more or less being. And when you're doing breath work, it moves energy around, right? So it's a very activated breath. And that's why it's called breath work, right? Because you're conscious with the breath. You're inhaling and exhaling with that focused intent. Now, it can be a fast breath, it could be a slow, deep breath, but you're still working with the breath. Generally speaking, when I do a session, let's say somebody comes in for a single breathwork session, we'll do a centering meditation, get them into the body to help them drop down into the subconscious a bit. And we'll start to then go into breath work, where all of a sudden that energy with the breath begins to move around, right? And so what that does is it allows you to go deeper into the subconscious, but not only that, but to allow stuck emotion to go get unstuck.
So it would sort of like shake things up almost.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of the things that I like to, you know, somebody used the analogy of a glass jar of like dirty water, right? This could be all of our trapped emotions, trauma, is the muddy water. And breathwork is the equivalent to taking clean water, right? And pouring it into the jar. And the more clean water you pour into this muddy water, that muddy water starts to flow out, right? Until eventually you have a jar of clean water.
And is breath work is something that you need to do regularly and for a long period of time to get the benefits? Or do you start to reap the benefits after, say, one session?
Definitely reap the benefits after one session. I find that depending on your needs, more than one session, you know, I've worked with a client where we were doing sessions every other week for about 10 weeks and just incrementally things started changing. You know, they started to realize a lot of different things and noticing behaviors and patterns and really getting, again, untethered to the fears and the trapped emotion that were dictating certain behaviors and beliefs. Mm-hmm. I personally use breath work now as prescriptive for myself. So when I feel really, really agitated, when I feel really, really upset and I know, like I feel it in my chest and I'm just like, oh, I need a good cry. I need a good scream or something. You know what I mean? Like, yep. I will use breath work because that allows that energy to flow out. And it really allows me to express that emotion. And you know, trauma, right, is trapped emotion. So when we have an argument and we're not able to express ourselves and we still feel like, oh, I feel so frustrated about this situation. If you do some breath work, not only do you get to move that energy around, but you also clear the system so that maybe some insight comes through.
So you would say that you, for yourself, and maybe for like advice for people, but you would use, say, meditation as like a reoccurring daily part of your day, whereas breath work you would do in between that for when you're needing to go that bit deeper and when you have got more frustration there.
Rather than the daily process. There's no one way to go about it, right? Because breath work can be, and I tell clients all the time, no one session is going to be the same. You won't have your first session and it be identical to the second, the third, or the sixth, right? Like every single session is going to be different in that what you're showing up with that day, what you need that in that moment, how deep you're willing to go. That's the beautiful thing about breath work is that you're in control of the breath. So mm-hmm. you're in control of the emotional release, right? Yes, I think that breath work is a quicker hit to releasing trapped emotion than a regular like seated meditation would be. And I also think that you could do breath work to just regulate your day. You know, a lot of people do that where they do, there's like, you can do 28 cycles in the morning to just activate your system in the morning and feel energized.
See, I've seen stuff about this 28 cycle one. I think the one I've seen is like 28 cycles and you do it 3 or 4 times depending on how you're feeling. Studies around that it helps with your immune system as well as your feelings. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I absolutely agree with that. Yeah. There are huge benefits, especially with the immune system, waking up and taking those circular breaths, 28 circular breaths in 3 cycles and feeling the energy shift. And what's really going on is it can feel really confronting, right? If you're not used to breathing that way, all of a sudden your body's like, whoa, what's happening here? Stop that. But the more you do it, the more it regulates, right? And so what we're doing here is increasing our capacity to handle stressful situations. This is why cold showers and ice baths also are really, really good, right? Because immediately your body goes into fight, flight, freeze. Sympathetic nervous system is shot into action. And so you start to panic in a sense. But the more you practice, right, the more you build the muscle of controlling your breath. Breath controls your nervous system, right? That's how you start to mindfully respond to other situations in your life.
So say you're trying out the cold shower process and you've gone in there and you've gone into complete shock. The better you get at it, that's showing you're developing better control over your breath, which then you can use in your daily life with other situations that's more maybe emotional or personable or whatever.
Exactly. That's it. Ding, ding, ding.
Wow, complete mindgasm right now.
Yeah. You know, remember, like every single emotion we have is traced back to a thought. Right? So you're met up with a situation that feels really, really confronting, and you're not used to managing your thoughts. If you've ever been able to really stay in that moment and notice your breath, you'll probably notice you're either holding your breath, really short, shallow, fast breaths, right? You're not breathing deep, you're not breathing slow. And so where you're at right now is in your reptilian brain is turned on, and that's reaction. Yeah. You're not thinking clearly. And so when you have the practice of slowing the breath down, you're able to really, really activate those centers that get you grounded. You're turning off the reptilian brain, getting more, you're able to respond to the situation with clarity. You're able to notice your feelings. And this is why the breath is so important. And this is why anywhere you go, yoga practice, right? Focus on your ujjayi. Meditation, it's really, you know, focusing on the breath. Working, when I teach spin, I always tell people, breathe. If you're breathing through your mouth and out of your mouth, you're not getting the most breath. You're not getting the best breath that you can. And essentially you're hyperventilating. And when you hyperventilate, you're panicking, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's there now. I'm literally sat here thinking, wait, how do I breathe? Do I breathe out my mouth both times? You don't know. Have you ever found that you've hallucinated with breath work, or have you gone too deep with it before? Is that something that could happen?
Yeah, you know, I actually went to a breathe once before I was facilitating, led by this group called the Psychedelic Club. And their whole thing was like, get high on your breath. And I had was a cathartic experience in that I was able to tap into a lot of emotions that I didn't even know were like under the surface. It took me into a really deep, deep, deep state where I wasn't in the room, but I was like deep in my body and deep into this emotion and was expressing myself. And there was a lot of crying and there was a lot of screaming and there's a lot of like big felt emotion. It was that experience where I walked away and I was like, didn't know that was there. So I need to, I want to dig deeper into that and figure out what's happening with me and why I feel this way. Mm-hmm. Something I didn't mention when I was in New York cutting hair, and I felt like, oh, I want to change. I want to, you know, work with people in a different way. I just didn't know how. And I had just booked a trip to Nicaragua to go on a retreat, and we did breath work. Mm-hmm. And my late grandmother had come to me with a message as a form of a butterfly. And she told me in that moment to, you know, to trust myself, to be me, and to know that like, whatever I want to do, like I can do. And this was like, you know, very, very on par with our relationship when she was alive. Mm-hmm. And I think that retreat was like in February of some year, and I think it was 2014. And by April, I had quit the salon I was working at and just started the process of figuring things out.
The process to go through though, like, were you aware and present at that time, or was that when you were going through the breathwork, or was it after that came through?
It was during the breathwork. Yeah. Yeah.
And is that something that can happen? Like, is that quite common? Yeah.
Yeah. Again, everybody's experience is different.
Yeah.
I really try not to set people up with expectation.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's something, you know, people go on trips, people go on journeys, people go, they go far out, way out. Amazing. Into, yeah, it is. It's beautiful.
To have that opportunity to really dig deep and to really get to know yourself, but then for yourself in that moment, you also had the reassurance that you were exploring the right path, and actually these new ideas and these new directions you were looking at going on were the right ones for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I always have to remind myself that I've never been steered in the wrong direction. Things haven't always been easy, but at the end of the day, I'm like, if I would have said no to anything, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
We would not be having this conversation right now. It's so true. It is so true. Do you think that there is secrets for people to be having a happier life? If you had somebody come into you and be like, look, Terrell, I'm struggling, like, what advice would you give?
This whole idea of like, I am enough, right? And for me personally, a lot of the things that have stopped me and slowed me down and really blocked my happiness has been fear of not being enough, right? Fear that I would fail, fear that I would mess up, feel that fear of not showing up as perfectly as I think I should, right? Oh my gosh, what will people say? Oh my goodness, this is really personal. Oh my, like I'm a fraud, or, you know, all of these things. And I think when we start to challenge the fear and we just repeat to ourselves, like, I can do this. I'm going to be okay no matter what. I'm taken care of, right? Mm-hmm. I want happiness over being afraid, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess with fear, we're putting that onto ourselves based on the beliefs of what we have of other people or people who maybe are around us or experiences we've had, but it's not based on fact and generally.
Exactly. You, again, have a choice to choose. Like, you have a choice to believe in whatever it is that you're telling yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we get so caught up because people are like, well, but what about, you know, this the state of the world and my economic circumstances and all of these things? It's like, yes, there are all of these things that are in the way. The Matrix has a really, really, like, insane and good way of keeping us in one spot, telling us all of these things by showing us, like, you have to have this job to survive. If you even try to look for something else, you better not, because there's a big chance that you're going to fail and nothing's going to happen for you. You better stay in this relationship because it's the best one that you're ever going to have. If you leave, oh my goodness, what is that going to be? What is that going to mean? What is that going to look like? What are other people going to say? If you try to better yourself, you're going to lose all of your friends. Yeah. They're not going to like you anymore. If you stand up for yourself, you're going to tip the boat too much or ruffle too many feathers. You better stay stuck.
But then how do you shift these negative thoughts? Like, these are things that we all have. Ultimately, it is our inner, like, our mind telling us this. But what do you do?
Challenge. Challenge. Challenge with action. Challenge by questioning. Is this true? What's the worst thing, you know, that could really happen? Is this fear based in reality? Or is this just fear that, you know, is this a future-based fear that hasn't actually happened? Why do we believe so deeply into the negative stuff? But when somebody's saying, but what about the possibility? We're like, ah, nah, that'll never happen. Dr. Joe Dispenza has Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. And he talks about how our cells, the cells in our bodies, are literally addicted to negative thoughts. When you have a negative thought, that creates an emotion, right? The emotion is a hormone coursing through our bodies. So when you feel anger, you feel it, right? Anger is a physical emotion from a thought.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a hormone that is running through our body, right? The cells are activated in these ways. Now imagine that you're constantly caught up in fear. You're constantly caught up in anxiety. You're constantly caught up. And the more you have these negative thoughts running in your mind, the more you're sending these hormones through the body. So just like, you know, alcohol addiction or addiction to sugar or coffee, you're addicted to these thoughts, i.e. the emotion that those thoughts, i.e. the hormones that you're feeling in the body.
So you've almost developed, I suppose you've developed a habit, which is a very negative habit. You're used to doing this, that suddenly it's like your habit is to moan about something every day, or your habit is to, I don't know, feel that anxiety in your routine.
Exactly. Yes. You know, and awareness, right? You have to really become aware of, like, oh, when I get really happy, does something just happen all of a sudden and it, like, blows up? And now I'm, like, in a state of distress, or I'm feeling anxious about something, you know, because I guarantee a lot of people are going to be like, oh, yeah. When something really good happens, all of a sudden I'm on the lookout for that negative thing, and lo and behold, that shoe drops and there it is.
Yeah, and then you're back to the same as how you were feeling before. That the happy feeling doesn't last. It's very much outweighed by the negative. But if you shift your routine and change your habits, then you can actually change your outlook on life.
Yeah, you can begin to change your addiction, right? You can change the chemistry of your body to really feel good in feeling good, right? And not, and you'll know right away when that negative feeling is a negative feeling, you know? Yeah,
absolutely. Do you have any advice for anybody who is potentially starting their spiritual journey now and is becoming more self-aware? And maybe they're going to listen back to this podcast and be a little bit like, oh, there's so much things going on. What would you say is the best place to begin with? Or where is the best place to begin?
What I tell everybody, especially beginning their spiritual journey, is one, you're already on the journey. Your life, the whole experience is the experience. Once you realize you don't have to be or really do much of anything, you know, when we talk about seeking a path, you're on the path. You know, like you're on the path. So just get that centered and settled and realize, okay, I'm here. Take what you need and leave what you don't. Because everybody's on their different path, right? Everybody is on their different thing. And not one thing, there's no one way to be. And if you're, you know, you're hearing somebody talk about what they're doing, what practices they're doing, and you know, they're waking up at 3:33 a.m. every day and doing their sadhanas and meditating for an hour in the morning and 20 minutes at night and journaling in the morning and going into, you know, their sun sals. And it's like, it's so much that you start to feel again, like it's too much, or you feel anxious and you feel frustrated. You should never feel frustrated when you're wanting to just learn about yourself. I tell people to learn, like, be curious.
Yeah.
Be open and say like, oh, this is really interesting. Maybe I go down this path. And oh, that's a definite no. So I'm going to go.
That was a wrong turn. Let me just.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you're looking for guidance, you know, I love talking to people. I love when my clients, cause I've now the clients that I'm working with and I really, really drop in with, I'm like, ooh, you're beginning to wake up. And I have to literally spell that out for them. Like, you are changing. This is why things are happening for you. But if you're looking for, you know, a guide, if you're looking for somebody to help you, one of the things that I absolutely say is if they're not promoting you are the one who heals yourself, that you are the one in power, then they don't have your best interest, you know? So understand that we are the powerful beings. We're the ones who have all of the tools, okay? If you meet somebody and they say, you must follow me, you must do exactly how I say, you're not capable, you're not powerful, and I'm the only one that can do the thing for you, that is a huge red flag. And I think we get caught up in that because we don't trust ourselves. Trust yourself. This is why meditation is so important, so that you can really begin to learn how your body responds.
Absolutely. And anybody who is looking for a coach, how do they get in touch with you? What if they're like, Terrell, I need your help. Help me on this journey.
It's really pretty simple. I think catching me on social media is going to be the best way. So Terrell Cherry on Instagram. I have a YouTube channel right now. Life is like all over the place, but so I'm really focusing on like Instagram and TikTok. So just DMing me on there, I'm super responsive on there. And, I'm currently drawing up, you know, a 21-day meditation for clients that they can do where I start with a 5-minute practice, you know, and by the end of the 21 days, we are sitting for 20 minutes. Again, this is to create a habit, right? The best way just to catch me on social media. I started taking questions like tarot readings on, it's a platform called Hey Hero. And so people can ask a question and I'll do like a quick video reading for them. Mm-hmm. And
So that's, if anybody needs to get in touch with Terrell, this is how you can do it. And I just want to say thank you so much for joining my podcast. It has been so lovely to speak to you. And I feel so positive and optimistic right now. I'm just like on a cloud 9.
I love that. That is literally my intention for like everything that I put out. I want people to feel, you know, like I can do this, you know?
Absolutely.
And as I move into like, you know, hypnotherapy and stuff like that's literally, I think that's why I've been so interested in it, because it's such a way to get people to really be more empowered, and mm-hmm. that I can do it mentality is going to get you through everything. Again, not toxic positivity. Feel the feelings, feel all of the feelings, all of the emotions are there to guide you.
Yeah.
But don't lose sight that you're capable and worthy and all of that. So.
And ultimately we have the tools to do it. Like we can do it. It's just getting our minds, our thoughts in line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being a guest. I just love speaking to you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And thank you so, so, so much. I'm glad we got to connect. And
so am I. I really am too. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed your Mindgasm. Remember, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure to follow me on Instagram at Jen Bezza to send in any questions and be the first to find out who we have coming up next. Have a great day!